Men, do we honor what is honorable? Do we honor the church, the cross, the flag? Hello, I'm Brian Patrick, and welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle the tough issues many men think about but don't talk about very much. We're continuing our series on the godly man. Being honorable is our topic, this time on Crossing the Goal. The godly man is honorable this time on Crossing the Goal, and we have our Crossing the Goal team here to serve you. From Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck. Next to him, from Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin, and our coach is Danny Abramowitz, former NFL All-Pro wide receiver and coach. Danny, why don't we start out by giving us a picture of the honorable man?
Well, the honorable man, guys, is a guy that lifts high the banner of God. He follows the teachings of Jesus Christ and his church. He lives a righteous life. He is, and he doesn't falter under the pressure, peer pressure out there. He knows what is right, and he sticks to his guns.
Well said. Well said. I mean, the command, the scripture is loaded with an exhortation to every one of us to show honor as well. Yes. An honorable man shows honor to what is honorable. Yes. He understands the difference.
Not only does he show honor in public, but the other part of the honorable man is that he lives honorably when no one's watching. And part of the reason for that is, as we're told in Scripture in Hebrews 12, we're actually surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, angels and saints, and of course our Lord himself, who are looking, he's looking down upon us day and night. And we should live that way all the time.
You know, an honorable man's not a holier than thou guy. He understands, like all of us, that we have weaknesses, we're a sinful man, but he always is trying to change to do the better.
Yeah, striving to do his duty.
Yes.
Curtis, you mentioned the honorable man does what's right when no one's watching. He also praises others when everyone's watching.
Absolutely.
And we have a game planned for the honorable man. Curtis and Peter have that next here on Crossing the Goal. But first, we have a quick timeout. Here are the honorable guys.
Honorable. You're honorable. Enlightened.
The godly man is honorable, and in our game plan today, we want to break down what it means to be an honorable man. What is it? What is the sense of honor? What does it mean to behave in an honorable manner? So, Peter, what does it mean?
Yeah. Well, starting underlining what Danny had to say, you know, we're talking about character. The honorable man does the right thing, consistently does the right thing, attempts and reaches out with a desire to do the right thing. And the whole question of honor and honoring things and being honorable goes back all the way to God himself, right? If you look at the scriptures are loaded with passages that tell us about how to honor God and the importance of honoring God. Go right to the commandments, right? We want to honor the Lord's Day, right? Honor the name of God. Honor your parents. And what you see is that honor has to do with relationship. That actually is a relationship term. I show honor to God because it recognizes his sovereignty over me. It recognizes his greatness and his majesty. And so I show him honor by not using his name improperly, honoring the day that he set aside and obeying his command. So I honor him by obeying him. So that's where it begins. And then it works its way down to other relationships in our lives, like a relationship with our father and mother. We show special honor to them. We respect what they've done. They've given us life and they've raised us. And throughout our life, we need to recognize the dignity of that particular relationship that we have with them. And then it's expressed in customs and how we behave and how we relate to them.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're not only, it obviously always begins with God, but I recognize not only God, but the gifts of God. And so the reason that I honor you is because of the dignity you have, because you're created in the image and likeness of God. This is the foundation stone of the church's teaching on life issues, that we recognize the sacredness of life because it's particularly human life, because it's a gift from God in a very particular way.
Jesus came to help restore the brokenness in the relationship that was expressed in dishonor. People didn't respect God. We've talked in previous programs about the tendency of the human heart to suppress the truth about God and refusing to honor him as God and to give him thanks, St. Paul says. There's a refusal in the human heart that's part of the our fallen nature. So Jesus comes, and from the cross, it's shown perfectly, in that radical obedience, he offers to God his life and he says, Lord, Father, I trust you. You are trustworthy. I'm going to obey you and surrender my whole life, even though right now it looks like you're nowhere to be found, even though it looks like you may not be trustworthy because I'm suffering, I'm dying, everybody's leaving me. I look and feel abandoned, but I'm going to stand to honor my Father because he is, you know, he is good, he's true, he's trustworthy, and I'm going to give to my Father what belongs to him.
No, it's important to see that and recognize that, you know, Christ is the ultimate example. But you've given us and called our minds back to Romans chapter 1, which is a great examination of conscience for us to just kind of read through and see how we're doing. Because a lot of people, I think, we desire to be spiritual. We desire to be true to God. Yeah. But really, Romans 1 gives us some definition. Do you honor God? Do you acknowledge him? And do you give him thanks? And I think if many, many people in our modern world are distracted by the very amazing things our culture offers, but they're finally lesser things. And they distract us from the greatest thing, which is God, who deserves rightly our honor and our thanks.
And this, you know, the church is a mother who's taught us how to rightly honor and respect God and the things of God. So, for example, I remember as a child being taught how to handle the Bible. This is the unique word of God. This is sacred. This is God's own word. You don't throw it on the floor. You don't leave it sit someplace. You put it in a place of honor. Why? Because it's God's word. Why? Because God is great. God is holy.
Absolutely.
God is awesome. And so we have these customs, going to Mass, going to communion. We don't just saunter up to communion and put our hand out or something like that. We go up with tremendous reverence and receive the Eucharist with reverence because we know it's the Lord.
Absolutely.
And we show him honor and respect because he deserves it.
No, I remember one of the times I walked into church and I saw my sons walking in. You know, for young boys, they're fairly pious, but they walked in and they genuflected, but they kind of went down about halfway. And it kind of struck me, you know, what's going on, the genuflection. And so we were after church, as we frequently do, we're debriefing on the way home. I said, so guys, when I get home, I want to show you what it means to genuflect, because what I saw was a curtsy. And one of these little things. And I said, you know, you're young soldiers coming into the King of Kings.
Absolutely.
And you drop down on that knee, you look them in the eye and say, you're my Lord and my God. Yeah. And it was fun to watch the next week. And since then, they've had this sense of what a genuflection looks like.
Our culture's become so egalitarian and self-centered. We're uncomfortable with customs of honor and respect. I remember even as a little boy, my father used to say, when guests come into your house, how you show honor to a guest. He said, when someone comes to the door, if dad answers the door and they come in, you stand up, you look them in the eye, you acknowledge them, you don't interrupt them, you don't stand there with your hands in your pockets and just kind of look at them like this, but you got to stop that. You just got to stop that. Well, we'll work on it.
Okay,
you
know? Thanks,
but anyway, what you're doing is these are little customs and practices that you do to express to a person, I recognize your dignity. I recognize the value of who you are. And that's what an honorable man does.
Right.
He understands the dignity and the really the majesty of both God and those he created.
Yeah, and to be able to see that it builds, that I recognize it as a man, but also as an elder if you walk in the room. And I, you know, lots of people that I've met and have introduced my children have commented that my sons will stand up and look them in the eye and give a nice firm handshake. That's an honorable thing to do.
Yeah.
And we have to recognize that God is calling that. That as we begin to see that the creation has been embedded with honor and honorableness, that when we step into that and recognize this, it restores a childlike wonder of creation to be able to stand back and say, God did this for us. He did it for me. This is an amazing world we live in. It's fallen and broken, but oh my goodness, we're surrounded by glory.
Yeah, absolutely. I had the privilege just recently of visiting West Point for the first time, the military academy, duty, honor, country. I just felt there was a little bit of a time warp standing there. The values are wonderful and the focus, a man does his duty, he fulfills his duty. And if a man does it even to the point of sacrificing his life or coming near that and does something heroic, the country will honor him with the Medal of Honor. Right?
And that's not old fashioned, that's just timeless. Brian?
Thanks guys for the game plan. Kind of like you, Coach. Timeless. I like to think of you as timeless.
Time bomb.
Let's all go down to the red zone. What'd you say?
I just feel honored to be a part of this team.
All right. And a part of your team. The red zone's next here on Crossing the Goal. But first, this quick timeout. From the Red Zone, we want to honor all the men and women serving in the armed forces watching on American Forces Network. And we're talking about the godly man is honorable. And Danny, why don't we talk and brainstorm a little bit about how do we honor God and others?
Yeah, I was just jotting some notes thinking about this and the characteristics of an honorable man. One is total in awe of God. Mm-hmm. Secondly, is faithful to his wife. Third, provides and defends his family. Fourth, honors his mother and his father. And lastly, respectful to his fellow man.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are all great points.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's, to me, if you look sometimes, do we really look at a guy and say, well, he's an honorable guy. Do we see these traits not only in somebody else? What about us? Are we living these things out?
I was kind of calculating that as you went along.
Right.
I'm working on it.
Take an inventory. We do have to take these things. I mean, I hope the guys out there don't get misconception here that we're all working on and that we have to do this. Right. This is a tall order.
We're a work in progress.
What the Lord gives us is a tall order, and we have to work at it. We're going to stumble around. If you think you're going to come in and hit all these right on the button, that's not going to happen. You know.
Well, I mean, the Godly Man series is really about an ideal. The ideal that God puts for us, and it's revealed in His Son. Jesus is all those things and did all those things, and He's got that ideal out there for us, and it helps us understand where does He want to take us? What does He want to produce in us? This is where we're going. It's great to do this because there's a lot of people in the country today, a lot of people in the world have very different definitions of what it means to be a man.
Right.
And what it means to live well. And we show honor to dishonorable things all the time. We honor men who do dishonorable things. There's a lot of confusion out there about what is a godly man, what is a godly man like, and how should we live.
You know? The mass media can perpetuate that because all of a sudden celebrity gets honored rather than heroism.
Right.
And we have to recognize that really it's not what is everybody saying or everybody thinking. We have to play to an audience of one. Yeah. This is where the belief and objective reality that there is a God and that He's mindful of who we are, what we're doing, and even what we're thinking. Yeah. And when we're aware of that and we play to the audience of one, then all of a sudden our lives begin to become harmonized with objective reality and we become honorable men as we live honorably.
Yeah.
And you said something right a few minutes ago. He says how the world out there talks about what is a man. Well, what a man is out here in the world and what is a godly man, an honorable man, is a different story. You know,
we have
to get that from the scriptures and through the readings of the saints and all these other people in our lives that can affect us, the guys that we hang around with, you know. Are they honorable people? If we hang around with honorable people, it's going to rub off some. If we hang around with dishonorable or people out here just living some kind of crazy lifestyle,
don't you think, though, that the world wants honorable men? I mean, when you see like a Tiger Woods, he was honored. He was a great, great golfer. Everybody thought he was a great person. And his fall has kind of taken a lot of people by surprise.
It points out exactly what each one of us need. We need forgiveness. Mm-hmm. If we want to be honorable, how do you get out of it? None of us have been honorable enough. So how do we get out of that? And that's where, you know, God speaks into that in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. He says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God honored us when we had been behaving dishonorably. And that's the way to get out of this. And we have to recognize that the needs of Tiger Woods are the same of every man. We need forgiveness in Jesus Christ.
Here's part of the battle that we're in, though, in our culture. You know, that when a society values and respects and encourages the right kind of honor, people will do it. If you pay attention to them, you honor it. If you honor what's honorable, more people will aspire to it. But right now in our culture, what's happening is it becomes more secularized, and God gets pushed further and further from the margins. The ground of why to be honorable starts to get pushed back. Why act honorably? Because you're made in God's image and likeness. Why treat people with honor and respect? Because they're worthy of honor and respect, because of the dignity that's in them. Well, if God gets pushed further from the margins, life's about me. Life's about me pursuing my own pleasure, and now I use my neighbor. You said something to me earlier, Curtis, about this that I thought was important. Why don't you go ahead and share that thought?
Sure, Peter. I mean, I think what we do is we see a universe where God has designed it so that we would honor God first and then all of His creation, all of His gifts, and particularly human persons.
Yeah.
But when we push God out, instead of honoring one another, which builds appreciation, all of a sudden, instead of a gift, you're a tool. Yeah. And you can help me become more effective in my business or accomplish certain tasks. but we're always going to disappoint one another. So we're not only no longer a gift, we're a tool, but we're a disappointing tool.
Yeah.
And now instead of growing in appreciation, we actually grow in frustration with one another. Yeah. Our wives don't satisfy us, our children don't satisfy us, our bosses don't satisfy us. And honor is the lubrication, if you will, to fix that broken friction and restore relationships to where they are.
And it causes you to recognize the human dignity of the person. You're describing a shift from the honorable man, a man of honor, understands the dignity and the value of what's out there, and he stands up to defend it,
right,
verbally or others. That's why a hero, an honorable man in the war, he fights for the right thing, and he lays down his life for what is objectively honorable.
To a cause, he has
absolutely
a cause.
You know,
absolutely. Thing, how do you instill that in the Herbeck home?
How do we instill in the Herbeck? Well, it starts early. Literally customs of honor and respect do you teach your children. You know, one of the things we do is how to, when guests come, I was mentioned earlier, that you recognize, you don't interrupt them, you welcome them, you speak, you listen to what they have to say, you look them in the eye, you respond to them. You say, now, Dad, why do I have to do that? Well, because this person is our guest, and this person is valuable, and this person is made in the image and likeness of God, you know, that kind of a thing.
And you don't have to, we're talking about big things out here.
Yeah.
You know, we always want to think, what big thing can I do?
Sure.
It's the little things in life. Take, for instance, my wife and I were in a restaurant here recently, and she comes in, and both of us walk in, and I pull the chair back, and before I pull the chair back, I take her coat off, and then I help her into the chair, pull the chair in. Well, we finish eating, the lady come up to me, the waitress says, that's unbelievable. I said, what? She says, you helped your wife off with a coat and you pulled the chair. Yeah. Well, to me, that was just a natural thing to do. And I had learned that, that's an honorable thing. I mean, that was no big thing, but I had learned that from my dad.
Yeah,
who passed it on, and then
it's unfortunate how we lost some of that kind of stuff.
You know? Open the car door. Yeah. I see guys get in the car, and their wife's on the other side. Open the door up.
Yeah,
you know, little things.
Yeah, a false understanding of feminism has brought that about. We have to sit back and say we're not doing these things because we think women are incapable. We're doing them because we're called to be gentlemen.
Yeah.
You know, in our home, we have about a 3-foot statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary out by our driveway, and I've got 4 teenage kids, and so our house has probably been toilet papered 60,000 times the last 3 years. And it's kind of fun. The kids all clean it up. But one time, some friends of ours who were not Catholic said, oh, we're going to come over and we're going to get that statue. They really didn't know the sense. And my kids immediately said, oh, don't do that, man. My dad will kill you.
Yeah.
And they come by, but they've always respected the statue of the Blessed Virgin because that's just an object that exemplifies honor to the Holy Family, to the Blessed Virgin Mary.
One of the things we do to help kids understand the importance of honoring people and recognizing is like when we celebrate birthdays.
Yeah.
You know, we have the cake, we have the ice cream, we have all that kind of fun stuff and presents, but we always take time where each person in the family goes around and says something about that person that we love about them, that we honor and respect for them, and the good qualities that we see in them. We want to say, these are special times to honor you and show honor, so it gets built in. Now, they like to do it. They like to hear it. They don't want us to forget about doing that, you know? It's a good, simple custom.
In another area I think we need to really talk about it, honor, is honor our elders, starting, first of all, with our mothers and fathers, and then the elderly. They've earned right. Like, my dad and my father-in-law both served in World War II. I mean, these guys, and they've lost their wives at an early age, but towards the end, I really admired them guys and let them know how much I honor them, how much I love them. Because, you know, they wouldn't talk about the war very much. These guys were humble guys, and I wanted to the very end to respect how much we love and honor them. And it meant a lot to them.
That part of honoring the elderly is very important, and that's why Peter and Brian, I really wanted to tell
you. Hey, wait a minute.
You've been pretty close.
Yeah, but you got to the chair
out from under me.
So we all want to be honorly men, or honorable men, godly men, and you guys have a last word on that, I'm sure, coming up. Also, we'll get into our email bag as we hit the end zone next here on Crossing the Goal.
We're we're digging in the email bag here in the end zone on Crossing the Goal. We got an email, guys, from the Philippines. Rosita asks, does God allow problems to come to test how strong we are in our faith, even in the midst of trials?
Yes, he does. And he does not give us more than we can handle. He gives us enough to where we have to rely on him. We call upon him to give us the strength to deal with it. I always say, Lord, if you're going to give me this, please give me the strength to deal with it.
A beautiful place to go is to the Psalms. These are what Jesus was meditating on while he was going through his passion and throughout all of his life. But the Psalms specifically speak of the ordeal in many, many places where the godly man or woman is being tested and God is shown to be faithful.
You know, the saints remind us that trials are a gift, and the quoting scripture, counted pure joy when involved in every sort of trial, because trial produces in us character ultimately and faith and hope, which leads to salvation.
That's right, St. James. All right, a question from Steve. What are some good leadership books that can help us reconcile our Catholic faith with the workplace?
You know, there's some great books out there. Patrick Lencioni, who's a good Catholic, has written some books, The Five Dysfunctions of the Team and others. You can look him up. He's got a series of now. I think he's just published his sixth book. Also, The One-Minute Manager. But I've found that there are a lot of good business books, because good business is based upon good virtuous behavior. And so many, many of the authors are very committed, faithful people. And even more so, the models they look to can be very, very faithful people, because the best business practices are virtuous ones.
I've read a couple of good books recently by Coach Mike Krzyzewski from Duke. Mike's a Catholic, but he's focusing on leadership. He's got great fundamental stuff that corresponds to good biblical teaching, good Catholic teaching about really how to be a leader.
Also, a suggestion from down under, Anne in Perth, Australia. I wish you had a prayer request section on your website.
Well, that's a good point.
Pretty good idea.
I think we're going to do something like that. Good idea.
We will work on that one, Anne. Now it's time for the last word on the godly man is honorable. Let's start with Peter.
Brothers, I just want to challenge you this week to ask yourself the question, am I showing honor to the things of God that God has called me to honor, beginning with the Lord's Day? If you want to grow as an honorable man and teach it in your home, ask yourself the question, am I honoring the Lord's Day? Am I taking my family to Mass every week? It's a good place to start.
Great point. There's a beautiful passage in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and it kind of helps us to orient our focus on what's most important. St. Paul says this, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The Christian's gaze should be always upward.
Man, we hit you with a lot of things here on honor, but what I like to suggest to you is begin by honoring God. Be in awe of God, because if you get that correct, the rest of the stuff will fall in line.
Thanks, Coach Curtis, Peter. I'm Brian Patrick. Next time on Crossing the Goal, the godly man is faithful. We look forward to seeing you then.
Absolutely.
Faithful and true.
How do you spell Krzyzewski?
Yeah. Kind of like a Abramowitz.
Yeah, Google Krzyzewski. Yeah, exactly. All you'd have to do is Google Coach K and you'd get
Coach
there.
K.
Yeah.
Coach K,
yeah.
I love the way you always say you're it's all the alphabet from A to Z.
Right. Oh, yeah.
A, B, R, A.
When I go spelling, I'm people, I can see when they start out, the A's big, I said, you better leave room. B, C, next thing they got to.
It took me a while to get your name down.
Abramowitz.
Your spelling. What's the proper, what's the Polish pronunciation?
Abramowicz.
Abramowicz.
And the guy just called me as Kaz Adlewicz.